This is the program,
Faith Matters.
In this program, we'll discuss
blindness and other issues as they relate to God.
And we'll also take a look at many other life issues as well. Being blind ourselves,
we know
faith matters.
Oh, where did I put my cell phone? Oh, here it is. I better call and check my messages again. Not that one. I'll get a deal with that in a little bit. Nope. Not that one. No, not that. No more messages. He hasn't even called me back yet. Oh, where is he? Come on. I don't have all day.
Sounds like you're having a rough afternoon here, Cecilia.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a phone call and it's not happening.
Important?
Yeah. Just slightly.
Yeah.
I'm looking for this. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with this meal of the month, and I hate it when people don't call me back when they're supposed to.
It's hard to be patient and wait sometimes, isn't it?
Yes, extremely. I mean, it's annoying because it's not like I've got all the time in the world here.
Well, actually, don't we have all the time in the world?
No, we do not.
Are you sure?
I'm quite sure.
What makes you say that?
Because I'm, well, for one thing, you know, the Bible says that we don't have all the time in the world. I mean, we've got all the time the world's got, but you know, Christ is going to come someday, and this world is not going to be here when after that happens.
Sounds like you're in a mighty big hurry to get to nowhere.
I am not!
In fact,
I resent that.
You know what I'm thinking of?
What?
There's a little song I heard you singing the other day. It was so cute.
Aw, please, don't make me sing that song.
Oh, come on, will ya?
This is trying to teach me something. This is trying to...
Just sing the song.
Oh, okay. There was a snail named Herbert who was so very slow. He caused a lot of traffic jams wherever he would go. The ants were always getting mad, and the beetles, they would fume. But Herbert always poked along and sang this little tune. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry when you get impatient. You only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too. And think of all the times when others had to wait for you. When Herbert was a child, he always got in trouble. He ran around and always got in trouble. I don't think I remember the rest of it.
Yeah.
Something about his father, you know, finally takes his speedy son aside and tells him to have patience.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think I get the idea.
Well, there's a couple of things with that cute story, that song. I just loved it when you sang it. I'm going to remember that one. I got to see if you can find the rest of the words. I'll have to find them.
That song is actually from a record that I used to have as a kid called The Music Machine Teaches the Fruits of the Spirit.
Is that right?
Yes, it was as cute as it could be.
Well, you know, that is one of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. And it's probably something every single human being has trouble with.
Yes.
Waiting and patience. And I think there's a couple reasons why. One is we want it and we want it now.
I want it when I want it because I want it right now.
That's right. That's right. The other is we're afraid we're not going to get it.
That's right. We are. Like this person that I'm waiting to call me back. I want this one celebrity to come to my meal, and I guess I am kind of afraid that he's going to think, oh, this is not even worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to know. Mm. I mean, if he's not going to be there, I need to know because then I need to set up something else. I mean, the last Saturday of the month is coming up soon.
So why don't you just set something else up anyway?
Well, because what if he comes and then I've got something else happening? You can't do that.
Boy, that sounds like it would be a bebop and hopping night.
And it sounds like it would be too much in one night. You can't throw too many things into 3 hours' time, you know. Come on, be realistic here.
Well, why don't you set it up with the second person to say, you know, I'm wondering if you might and not sure yet about the date and start getting things lined up for ahead of time.
I don't know. I'm just not convinced. I really would rather this guy call me back. That's what I would like to have happen.
Well, I want it when I want it when I want it.
That's right.
Sure, but do we get it when we get it when we want it?
And I suppose you're perfect about that?
No, although I have learned to not just expect. Really, what patience has a lot to deal with is expectations. If we expect something, that's when we get disappointed.
So, in other words, we should expect nothing. Oh, beautiful attitude right there.
Well, in some ways, we won't be disappointed. I know somebody who had hung up in the bathroom. This sounds a little unrighteous, but expect nothing and you won't be disappointed.
Great. That's a really good attitude to take toward life right there, isn't it?
Well,
that's why. Now, wait a minute. Didn't at one point we did a passive aggressive show not too long ago, and didn't we talk about the person that expected nothing got nothing?
But it depends what you're going to do with your expectations after. Okay, if I expect that celebrity is not going to call, and what if they did call and say, nope, not going to? You'd be starting to work on getting somebody else, right? Well, expect they're going to say no. Start working for somebody else. So and contingent it that when you call the person, say, yeah, I'm looking maybe this month or next month. Would you be willing and interested? Can I give you a call back in a couple days? And just kind of line things up, looking further ahead, expecting there'll be no, so that then you have something else to fall back on.
So, all right, wait a minute. If the second person doesn't call me back then, I mean, we can have
a
lot of no expectations here.
That's right.
This just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's planning. Planning ahead and working hard. In fact, it reminds me of a Bible verse in James chapter 5. Where James says, look at the farmer who plants and waits. And think about the life of a farmer. Matter of fact, most people used to farm, and that's where 96% of all work of all people were, was farming. So the example was a good one. He'd work the ground. He'd plant the seed. Then he'd go through and weed. Sometimes if it was a small area and a dry one, they would water. And then they would go through again and weed, and then they would finally, after many months, would harvest.
It doesn't sound to me like he was just doing nothing, though.
But he had to wait for the harvest, months and months of waiting and working to prepare leading up to the final harvest. And that's really the description that God gives us with patience, is we are to be patient like the farmer. Which means, yes, we should be ready to harvest, but yet at the same time, we should be working to prepare for the harvest. It doesn't mean sit on your butt and be a couch potato, but it doesn't mean you start to try to pick the wheat when it's not even out of the ground.
Well, you can't do that anyway.
That's right. But isn't that what we so often do in life? We're trying to harvest and grab when it's not even ready. And that's where patience enters in. Now, by the way, the flip side of patience, want to make a guess?
Impatience?
Well, and what does impatience usually lead to?
A worry, frustration, annoyance, discontent.
You're getting close. And that leads you to?
Anger.
No?
Grumbling
or complaining?
Oh.
The Bible really points out that the opposite of patience, well, is impatient, yes, but that leads to the action of grumbling and complaining. And what was the Old Testament full of, especially the people in the wilderness?
Israel was complaining always because they weren't getting food the way they thought they should be. They weren't getting the... I mean, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, and this food is terrible, manna, day in and day out, and we don't have any water, and look, now we're trying to get to the promised land, and look at this huge wall around Jericho. We can't get past that. We want to go back to Egypt.
And they were impatient. They wanted it when they wanted it, and they wanted it now. But God said, no, wait. And he worked to help them build patience within their lives. Part of patience is not looking at this day only, but looking far beyond. And that's a hard thing for many people to do, especially in instant societies of gigabytes and megahertz and
DSL connections.
Talk
about having to be patient. Do you know that if I want something for faith matters, like music or whatever, or even just for my own personal use, I have an old 56K modem. I have to wait half an hour for each piece of music. Oh, that's hard.
And there are some people who would drool at a 56K modem because they only have a 28.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
It's a matter of perspective and what you expect and what you want. And if you look ahead and plan and look at life more than just at that moment, at that day, life takes on a whole different perspective. And usually when we are impatient, that's when we grumble.
That was a very nice piece. It talked a lot about giving thanks, and yeah, the poor really do become rich because of what God has done, and the weak become strong. But is there ever a time when someone can be too patient?
Before I answer that, the one thought I had, and that's why I asked to bring that piece in and moved the talk from patience to Thanksgiving.
Now, wait a minute, aren't we a little bit too early here? Thanksgiving is in November, after all?
Well, it's actually every single day of every single moment.
Every single day of every single moment.
Yes. Every single moment of every single day? Every single? Do I want to be single? No, I don't want to be single!
I don't want to be.
Thanksgiving is a very important part of patience. If we're not patient, we grumble. If we don't grumble, what is the opposite of that but thankful? So I really do believe thankfulness and patience go hand in hand. We're one when we're the other, and we're not one when we're not the other.
So you're telling me that I have to be thankful all the time, and if you don't call me back, even though I really need your help, or someone doesn't do something that I need them to do, I've given them a deadline. I need this report or whatever by thus and such a time, and they don't have it. Or you're saying that, like, when I don't get my reports done on time, that means that you should just say, oh, well, it's all right. I'm sure you'll get it done, and I don't need to worry about it.
No, that's not what I said at all. And that's the conclusion that some people make, is the jump to what you did. And there's one other word you use, I must be thankful. No. Thankfulness is an attitude. It's the frame of reference that we want to put our heart. If one is thankful, they understand that life is a gift. Everything they have is a gift, and at any moment, it could be snatched away. Putting that in perspective to God can change everything, including that darn lousy report, which is late. There could be a lot worse things. That's one angle. Secondly, does it mean it's okay? No, not necessarily. But I can still be thankful for you and for all that you do, and give you thanks verbally and pats on the back, even though you didn't get the report in on time. If that happened.
It's happened once or twice.
Yeah, okay. But I still can be thankful for what you do. And if I have that thankful attitude towards you, that will also come out instead of me being angry. Because you mentioned that might be one of the possibilities. And it is true. If one is impatient, you can become angry and you grumble.
You know, but I've noticed with you that even if I don't have something done the way I should, I go in there expecting,
that's an interesting word.
He's going to kill me for this. How many times have I said, oh, pastor's going to kill me?
Mm-hmm.
And I go to you and I'm almost hiding behind this 10-foot-high shield that I've got that, you know, around my emotions. Pastor, I didn't get my report done yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting anger and annoyance, and your response is, well, all right, what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't? Oh, boy, had a hard time? Well, yeah, I did. I couldn't find this fact, and then this person called, and, so when do you think you can have it done? You are one of the most patient people I know.
There's a couple of things in the way I deal with you and other people that go into just what you described. One is, I try to assess, did you really try? And I've always noticed you do try, but there are extenuating circumstances in life that come up that sometimes just make a hiccup and you can't get it done. And I know that because I have it happen to me all the time as well. And so it's only right and fair and kind to understand that's part of life and not get angry or upset at you for life. Giving you the allowance of that. And if I got angry or upset, all you would do would be get more defensive and we get nothing done. Where on the flip side, if I try to be patient and control my thoughts so that I can help you, that'll help you do your job or your activity or just let you live in freedom of joy and life better.
You know, I've noticed that because you act in a certain way with me, you show me patience,
mm-hmm.
and understanding, that makes me want to try all the harder,
mm-hmm.
to get whatever it is done, the report or the project or the program or whatever. He was so nice to me. You know, I'm going to spend this extra time that I really wanted to go home and just rest. I'll spend this extra hour and maybe I can get it done.
A lot of that comes out of that song again, putting in reference to God. God has been patient with me, Dave. When I've screwed up and messed up, He's forgiven me and given me multiple chances more. I mean, here I sit again in the studio to talk to you and my friends out there. That if God's given me these chances, I not only owe it to people, but I want to give that same chance to other people, just as God has given it to me.
But how do you know when too many chances have been given, and you just can't be patient anymore.
Every once in a while that happens, but it's very infrequent. In fact, I'll let you in on a secret. It happened this weekend. I got a phone call, and it was on the weekend, which meant it was a day off.
Right.
And as I was walking by the phone, I was on my way to put Maggie down for a nap. Maggie's my three-year-old. And I picked up the phone, and maybe I shouldn't have. Picked it up. Oh, I'm so glad you're there. I need to talk to you and ask you something. I said, well, fine. I'll call you back. I have to put my baby down. Well, when you call back, I'd like to talk about, and I said, no, I gotta go. Don't tell me what you're going to talk about now. Bye. And I gently tried to tell the person, I don't want to deal with that now. And I did what I did, put Maggie down. And as I was walking back to the phone, my wife said, oh boy, it looks like you got an interesting one there. And what I mentally did, I'm a Star Trek fan. I will admit it. And I love Star Trek. It helps me to picture how to deal with life. And before I picked up the phone, I said, shields up, red alert. Because I had no idea what this person was going to talk about. I stopped them before they had a chance. And I knew that I might get some, to pick up Star Trek terminology, some phasers shot at me. If my shields are up, I'm protected, I'm saved. Everything can be deflected, absorbed, so that I can then be a good, active listener for this person. And not be someone who reacts out of being wounded. If someone hits the Star Trek Enterprise with a phaser, they got to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If the shields are up, they don't have to be so concerned about defending, but maybe diplomacy. And so that's what I did. I said, shields up. Then I dialed the phone number. And I said, hi, now I can talk. Sorry about interrupting, but I had to put my daughter down. Well, I just didn't. And I said, that's okay. What do you want to talk about? So I always try to set myself in a position to listen actively, protect myself, not let people attack me. And once in a while, when I go to that phone and pick it up and someone starts shooting the phasers, I say, oh, okay, I'll talk to you in a minute, just a second. And I'll put the phone down and I'll take a breath.
And the shields are in place.
That's right. And then I pick up the phone. Thank you for the interruption. I just had to finish one item. And that one item had to be to protect myself so I can be an active listener.
So, okay, so that's how you're patient with people. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there are times when it's just impossible. You're not perfect. I've seen situations where sometimes something has gotten through those shields.
Yes, it happens. It happens.
And
sometimes it is, I'm with somebody I think I can trust, so I don't put up the shields, and they shot a phaser.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
That's betrayal.
Sure. Sure it is. Sometimes, though, it's not intentional. Sometimes it's just an anger or lashing out, and I just happen to be the closest one.
Or sometimes, like with you and I, we're trying to discuss something, the discussion gets a little bit hotter than we wanted it to, just because of circumstances.
And sometimes someone will just say a joke, jokingly, and all of a sudden, without even realizing
that hurts.
That's right. And it could be something from the way one laughs. Maybe it's a joke if someone's a little heavy about weight. And because they're sensitive in some area that we might not even be aware of, it was like a phaser broadside, and they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be difficult. And how do you be patient with those type of people? For myself, when I'm hit like that, I retreat. Regroup. Make sure, picking up the analogy of the Starship Enterprise, mm-hmm. make sure that the gaping hole in the side is repaired, put up the shield, and then move back into position.
And how do you retreat? I mean, you can't do that in a split second's worth of time. It takes time to absorb that hurt and figure out, that did hurt. Now what am I going to do about it?
Well, sometimes you have time, sometimes you don't. I have sometimes when dealing with people in a more formal setting, like at church, say, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. That's one way.
Okay.
And that'll give me 6 hours, then get back to him. Sometimes, though, when you're in the family setting, in the living room, whether it be with a wife or a parent, and I hear this a lot, of especially blind people, and I find it with myself, with parents or brothers or sisters who are treating you like you don't want to be treated. They're dominating and intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really retreat.
No.
And it is really hard. The best thing to do then is try to give yourself a little bit of time. Say, okay, interesting. Let me think for a second. And that second is put up the shields. What's the good thing to say? How to come across and treat them nicely.
But you still have the wound behind the shield.
Oh, yeah, and you have to deal with that later. If you deal with the wound right away, then you're in for a fight. Patience sometimes means I don't get my licks back in on you.
It goes back to forgiveness again. I give up the right to
good
hurt
point.
Back.
Yes. Yes. And where then does that wound go and that anger and how do we forgive? Well, that's why the cross is there. That's why Jesus died.
And that's why other friends are there. Kind of, again, as we talked about in the act of listening, I was hurt today.
Mm-hmm.
I was betrayed today. And being able to talk about that with someone else
mm-hmm.
and let them share that pain with you.
Mm-hmm.
Lowering the shields enough to let someone else come in and to take that, to experience that with you so that you can deal with it.
Yes.
Pastor, what about the person who has been, who has graduated from college and who has been looking for a job for 2 years and there is nothing? How do you tell them to be patient?
Hmm. That is a tough situation. I don't know if this will help or not, but I was reminded again at Bible study this last Sunday. Paul, his name was Saul. He was on the road,
mm-hmm.
and he saw Jesus, fell down, and he became a Christian.
Yeah, a little bit more to the story than that.
Yeah, well, okay. We want to shorten it up here for because of time. But do you know how much longer it was after that then Barnabas came and to him and said, hey, why don't you come with me and let's start sharing Jesus to other people?
No. How long?
8 years.
But I'm sure
Saul sat after being converted, trying to tell people about Jesus, getting nowhere in the synagogues, thrown out of the synagogues, it alludes to that fact, and nothing happened for 8 years. A learned Pharisee taught, preached before, while a Jew, then became a Christian, nothing.
No
for
way.
8 years, that's right.
But surely he was doing things. I mean, he must have been, you can't. I mean, it doesn't seem in the Bible like he was just waiting there doing nothing.
Well, you're right. In the long-term spectrum, God was doing something, forming and shaping Paul to be able to speak to Gentiles, people that weren't like himself, and helping him be a patient man when faced with trials and difficulties. And boy, did he have it. Mm-hmm. Stoned, shipwrecked, flogged, rejected.
And eventually martyred.
And eventually martyred. God was using these first 8 years after his conversion to help him in his longer ministry. So even 2 years of no job after college seems like an eternity at that moment. But when we put it in the broad spectrum of we're God's child, and this is a very important thing of coming back to the forgiveness issue. If we are forgiven, that means we're God's child. And that means you are special. God chose you. God thinks you are special. Not that you have to become something in order to get his favor. You already have it. That's why he forgave you. Because he forgave you, you have his favor. He's pleased with you right now. And he's working through these years of difficulties in order to form and shape you for something else.
I have just one more question.
Yes.
Is it true that if I pray, Lord, give me patience, that God will find all kinds of trials to put me through to make me have patience? Is that really true? Is it dangerous to pray for patience?
Yes, it's very dangerous to pray for patience. I used to do that. I don't anymore. Now I just pray for God's strength to help me in those times so patience are built. In a sense, that's the way he makes patience, is by refining us through trials and difficulties.
That long line at the checkout line, that long bank teller line, that cab that will never come.
Yeah. It's not an easy word, not an easy message. People would want to have, you know, a simple answer quick, but I'm sorry, this show can't do it. Not in 30 minutes, nor in 30 days, probably not even in 30 years. Mm-hmm. But we do tell you that God is there for you. And I hope you heard that. He forgives you. He loves you. He cares. And you are special. Yes. That's why Jesus died. Yes. If we can be of further help beyond that message, we would like to. Simply write or call us. Call at 314-776-3694.
Or write to us at faithm@acbradio.org.
Always remember,
faith matters.